Okay, so tonight, chapter 52, verses 14 to 33. Can you hear that all right? What was that?
Yes.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay. So text number 14. Usha said, in my dream, I saw a certain man who had a dark blue complexion, lotus eyes, yellow garments, and mighty arms. He was the kind who touches women's hearts. It is that lover I search for. After making me drink the honey of his lips, he has gone elsewhere, and thus he has thrown me, anchoring fervently to him, into the ocean of distress. Chitra later said, I will remove your distress. If he is to be found anywhere in the three worlds, I will bring this future husband of yours who has stolen your heart. Please show me who he is.
Initiates a person still in his mind, knowing his potency, determines that name, and in his hand becoming part of drawing potency. Chitrika has his wife in the following world, as I am similar to the woman indicated by her name.
Any points there?
This
is one of the names of the friends of Usha, Chitra Lekha. Amongst the gopis, Radharani has eight principal gopis. And one of the eight principal gopis, her name is? Chitra. Or Suchitra. Chitra means, as it is said here, it is like excellent or very dangerous. Charming is another definition of Chitra. So Chitra, she is informing Usha about who the personality is that she's seeing in her dream. Now, the essential point is that every devotee needs to develop a strong desire to see Krishna. We advance in spiritual life according to our desire. If our desire is strong to advance, we advance. If our desire is not strong, we don't advance. So it is up to us how much we advance in Krishna consciousness, ultimately. Because you'll see in this page, Usha, she has intense desire to see Krishna, which we could say is like asakti. Asakti means attachment. When one becomes attached to Krishna. So she has this intense desire. And because of the intense desire to see Krishna, then Krishna manifests. Or you could say this as Aniruddha. Aniruddha is an expansion of Krishna. So the basic principle is we must have this desire to see Krishna. If there is no intense desire to see Krishna, you do not see Krishna. So, Prabhupada has said that we need to go to the place where they are selling Krishna and his deities, and you have to purchase as much as possible. Anxiety for Krishna. If you don't have anxiety in your service, you don't progress. There's no rapid progress. So we really make advancements in spiritual life, in Krishna consciousness, when we take up responsibility to spread the Hare Krishna movement, the Sankirtan movement. If you don't take up responsibility, you won't have anxiety. And if you don't have anxiety, you don't get purified. So we have to take up this anxiety. So she has this intense desire to see Sami Buddha, or see Krishna. So that is the key. Rupa Goswami says the key for advancement, or the most important element to attract Krishna, is called loyam. Loyam means? It's a greed to see Krishna. In Sanskrit we say lobha. Lobha means greed. If there's no greed to see Krishna, you will never see Krishna. That's why that in any part of our spiritual life. If there's no intensity or no lobha, no desire, then we do not attain Krishna. So one must have this lobha, which means a greed to see Krishna. And we see, we have to become greedy. For example, coming to a class like this, there's so many obstacles. And I see devotees come and go. Over the years, devotees will come and they'll stop coming, I'll go, like that. There has to be greed. If there's no greed, then you don't progress. Same in chanting your rounds. Some devotees struggle with chanting their rounds. If there's no greed to chant, then you will not chant. All the different services we do, there has to be a strong, strong desire. Because if you don't have that strong desire, you don't progress in spiritual life. So here, Usha, she is showing us the strong desire to see Aniruddha or Krishna. That is the principle. Now, her friend Chitraleka is an expert artist. So because she's an expert artist, you see that she draws all of the attractive personalities in the universe, the attractive male persons in the universe. So she has this propensity. Now this is the this is another important principle in spiritual life. It's called Yukta Vairagya. Near Banda Krishna, Sambhaje, Yukta Vairagya, which is there. Engaging what we are good at in Krishna service. That is called Yukta Vairagya. Everyone has particular talents in devotional life. And Prabhupada was expert, he would see devotees would come, he would see what talent they would have, and then he would engage them according to their talent. So in Krishna consciousness, you have to find out these two things. First thing, you have to see what you like doing for Krishna. Second thing is what you're good at doing for Krishna. You might like doing something you're not very good at. So then what's the point of doing it? You can do it, that means if you're going to make a career out of it, what's the point? Just like I can say, well, I like cooking for Krishna, but I'm not a very good cook, so what's the point? You know, I'll go into the offering will be late, it'll be burnt, it won't be very good. Here's a scumbag one. So, the devotees might say, if you go and do the cooking, I might like to do the cooking, but I'm not a very good cook. So then what is the point? So it's not just what you like doing, it's what you are good at. Krishna gives everyone ability. You have to find what it is that you're good at. And Prabhupada was expert. He would see what the devotees are good at, and he would engage them according to that service. So he would see, particular devotee, he would see they have a propensity to paint artists. So then Prabhupada said, then you paint for Krishna. They would paint, and gradually they became very proficient. You see some Prabhupada's disciples, their first paintings were very basic. But then, by following the Guru's order, Prabhupada said, no, you paint for Krishna. Then they became expert artists. Now, very beautiful. You've seen so many people get some of the early artwork, very, it's not particularly secure. But those same devotees, 10 years later, 20 years later, quite amazing how good their artwork is. So the point is that we have to find what we are good at and what we like doing, and then do that for Krishna. Right? And by doing that, you'll become expert. So, Chitraleka, she is an expert artist. Yeah? So she uses that in the service. She paints and she says to Usha, is this the person you saw in your dream? Is this the person you saw in your dream? She draws them. Very expert. And by her expert artwork, she is able to do service. Any points?
Yeah. She is not only painter, she draws in under the from the other. And you see her.
Yeah. Yeah, that comes a little bit further down. Okay. Saying this, Chitraleka proceeded to draw accurate pictures of various demigods, Gandharvas, Siddhas, Charanas, Panagas, Daishas, Vijadharas, Yakshas, and humans. When Usha beheld him, O king, among the humans, Chitraleka drew pictures of the Brishnis, including Surasane, Anakadundubi, Balaram, and Krishna. When Usha saw the picture of Prajumna, she became bashful, and when she saw Aniruddha's picture, she bent her head down in embarrassment. Smiling, she exclaimed, he's the one, it's him.
He became that he was back to God, this is my father in law. Then he found the picture of the Lord and the guide of the Lord.
Yeah, that's
right.
Okay, so what is the point? Yeah. So Usha became bashful. She was showing the various pictures. Right? Is this the person you saw in your dream? She saw a picture of Balaram. No, but no, it's not Balaram. Then she saw Krishna. No, it's not Krishna. Then she saw Krishna's son, Prajumna, who is the father of Aniruddha. So when she saw him, she became bashful. Right? And then she saw Aniruddha himself. And then she became extremely happy and excited. So this is a cultural point. She was bashful before her father-in-law. Why was she bashful? Because that is the etiquette. In the Vedic culture, there must be respect for superiors. That is actually one of the key points, one of the most important elements of Vedic culture. There must be respect for one's superiors. And you'll see in the modern society, this is becoming less and less. And you see in the modern generation, even amongst the devotee kids, less respect for the parents. Are you noticing that? Experiencing that? No, honestly, it's there, right? It's there. Compared to the way we were with our parents, and if you go back to the way our parents were with their parents, especially in the amongst the Indian devotees, it's very, very different. The way the kids are, very different these days. So it is because of the age of Kali, the effects of the age of Kali, that people are becoming less and less inquiries to offer respect to the superior. So, if you want to advance in spiritual life, you must respect your superior. It's one of the essential elements of spiritual life. Respect for authority. Within our teaching program, we have 12 aims of Shastric study. And one of them is authority. One of the reasons why we study the Shastra is to develop this respect for authority. You can't progress in spiritual life unless you respect your authority. And you see so much of the time, and you see, devotees struggle when they stop respecting their authority and following their authority's order. Now, even Prabhupada himself said, he said, I do not like to instruct you because I can see that you do not like to take orders. Mm-hmm. Even Prabhupada said that. And even, I mean, most of us would follow whatever Prabhupada said. But even so, Prabhupada detected within his followers, they did not always like to follow what they were being told. That is the nature of the age of time. People don't like to cooperate, they don't like to be disciplined, they don't like to follow, they don't like to respect the authority. So this shows how important it is that when you take the position of an authority, we cannot break the trust or the faith of those who have faith in us. If you're an authority, and all of us are authorities to some degree, it shows how important it is that we follow things properly in our asha and our prasha. Asha means the way you act. Prasha means what you say. Right? There has to be a correlation between the two, or what's the word? Walk the talk. But, there has to be there has to be a synthesis. Yeah, if you're saying one thing as an authority that enjoying the other, but you don't have potency. Right? Or if you're doing one thing, then you say another thing. Everyone loses faith in you. And the most important thing when you're a leader in the society, then you must act properly and speak properly so that people do not lose faith. Spiritual life is based upon shraddha. Shraddha means faith. So if people lose faith in us, then they can't advance in Krishna consciousness. So that is the way that we progress in our spiritual life. We progress when we are following our authority. So when you're losing track of your authority, when you're not following your... The devotees are at the farm, they said they want to listen to the class. So, alright, but then they hang up. Maybe there are other ones, maybe there are other ranges. So, that is the basic principle. If you want to advance, you have to follow authority in spiritual life. If you're not following authority, it would be very difficult to progress. So you see here that she has a natural respect for authority. She's naturally bashful. She called her father-in-law. Any points?
Yeah, this reminds me. Bali Maharaj and Shankaracharya.
Yeah.
Bali Maharaj was told to respect tradition.
Yeah. Important point. Yeah. One has to follow his own. It's interesting that passage on the Bali Maharaj.
Mm-hmm.
That Bali Maharaj rejected his authority. Who was his authority?
Shukra.
So you can reject the authority when the authority is not acting properly. and speaking properly. Then you can reject. Right? If the guru stops following the regulated principles, you can reject the guru. That's accepted in the shastra. Right? Until such a time that he begins to follow again, and then when they're following again, then you can make the decision whether or not you will follow them. But if someone takes that position of authority, they have to follow properly. Any points? What was the point very quickly? Yeah, so Sankarsan Prabhu, who came here recently, he was making that point. That sometimes you give instructions to your disciples, but then they don't follow the instructions. So that means they become disconnected from their guru. If you stop following what the guru teaches you, you become disconnected. And then you're not connected to the parampara anymore. So you must follow what is given. If the guru gives instruction, you must follow. Any other point? The what? No, I mean, if you stop following the regulative principles, if you stop chanting around, if you stop following everything that the guru is asking you to do, you become disconnected from the guru. So if you begin to follow again, then you're reconnected. You can always reconnect. There used to be one guru in ISKCON. He's not a guru anymore, but Hari Kesh Prabhu. He was a guru, a very big guru in ISKCON. 6,000 disciples and so forth. Very prominent. And if one of his disciples, sometimes they would say, I don't want to follow this or I don't want to follow that. So then he would say to them, then send me back your beads. Mm-hmm. You know, beads I gave you in the season, and send them back. If you're not going to follow, send them back. And quite often they'd be, oh, and then they begin to follow again. So he was very strong like that. Okay. Chitralita, endowed with mystic powers, recognized him as Krishna's grandson, Aniruddha. My dear king, she then traveled by the mystic skyway to Dwarka, the city under Lord Krishna's protection. There she found Prajumna's son, Aniruddha, sleeping upon a fine bed. With her yogic power, she took him away to Sonitapur, where she presented her girlfriend, Usha, with her beloved. Would it be wonderful?
Srila Vishwanatha Prasadati, a man I follow on this world, stated here that Srila is also a mystic power, Loma Prasadati. And the strength that Srila and other researchers, she needed to employ her powers because when she arrived at Dwarka, she found herself unable to enter Lord Krishna's tomb. At that time, she found her only instructor to her in the mystic art of Vrindavan. Some authorities also say that Sukadeva is herself and the expansion of Lord Ram.
Any point?
Those days they had given for the Kushani, Krishna, in the time, in the time. And then she has a human talent and
even my grandmother, she could fly in the sky and do all these things. Any other points?
If you want to do that, you can stop thinking. You are not as many things as you have been talking.
Yeah. So, she is entering the holy Dharma, Dwarka. Dwarka is the holy Dharma, the holy place. You cannot enter the holy Dharma easily. Srila Prabhupada said you cannot buy a train ticket to go to Vrindavan. You can't just purchase a ticket and then say, I will go to Vrindavan. It doesn't work like that. You enter Vrindavan through your consciousness, your devotional attitude. You have to go there. It's very important that you go to Mayapur, Puri, Vrindavan, Dwarka, any of these holy places. We have to be in the right state of consciousness. If we're not in the right state of consciousness, we will get reactions directly from Lord Shiva. And this Lord Shiva is Chetrapal. Chetrapal means is the protector of the holy Dharma. And Lord Shiva is the Lord of Ahankara. Ahankara means your false ego. So if you try to enter the holy Dharma but you're too much in false ego, your Lord Shiva will give you a reaction. In other words, when we go to the holy Dharma, we have to be in our best consciousness. We have to be in a service attitude. Because that is what we're created for. Jivara Swarupa Hoy Krishna and Nityada. We are Krishna's eternal servant. If you go in the mood of being a master or an enjoyer, you will suffer. So this is the way to enter into the holy Dharma. So you see here that Chitraleta, she cannot directly enter the holy Dharma. It was so easy to go into the holy Dharma. She needed assistance. Right? Who assisted her? Narayana. In other words, she needs guidance from superiors, from guru. And so it's very important when devotees come to the holy Dharma, they need guidance. Now, first time I went was with my guru. Second time I went was with my guru. Third time I went was with my guru. Right? And he guided what is the correct mood in entering. That has to be the consciousness, the sense of the holy Dharma. So, it is said that she may have been an expansion of yoga maya. So it's an important point because you can only enter the holy Dharma through the mercy of yoga maya. Yoga maya means the internal potency. If you're too much absorbed in the external potency, you cannot enter the holy place. Just like one devotee was there in Vrindavan with Prabhupada, and the devotee was saying, oh Prabhupada, there are so many pigs and so many, so dirty, and there are sewage, and dogs are fighting. Prabhupada said, you are not seeing Vrindavan. Because our consciousness is not correct, we cannot see Vrindavan. And then even when our consciousness is correct, we still can't see Vrindavan. I've been in Vrindavan many times, but I've never seen Vrindavan, the actual spiritual. I thought, even though it is there, but I do not see it. Bhaktivinoda Thakura says there's a very thin covering of maya, of material energy. For those who are unqualified like myself, then that's what we perceive. We can feel the presence of the actual spiritual world, the internal energy, but we cannot see it or touch it. No, that takes adhikar or qualification. So, she has the guidance of the guru. By the guidance of the guru, she was able to see. So we also have to have the guidance of the Guru, and we have to come into the holy dharma under the shelter of the internal potency. Right? If we come under the shelter of the external potency, we will not see the holy dharma. Even when we come to the temple here, if you're not in the right consciousness, then the deities do not reciprocate with you in the same way. So we have to develop the right consciousness through the things that understand. Any points? When Usha beheld him, the most beautiful of men, her face lit up with joy. She took the son of Pradyumna to her private quarters, which men were forbidden even to see, and there enjoyed with him. So this is another part of the Vedic culture. The women are not left unprotected. This is one of the defects of the modern society. There is like a freedom of intermingling between the sexes now, and there is a, everyone just mixes unrestrictedly and unlimitedly now, but there are problems which are arising from this. In the Vedic culture, there is a certain amount of separation between the sexes, because if you have too much intermingling, there will, problems will be created. Just like in the seventh canto of the Bhagavatam, it says that the man is like butter, the woman is like fire. So if you put the butter too close to the fire, it begins to soften and melt. That's the potency of the female shakti. Women have great shakti or potency. They can easily control them, easily soften their minds. So therefore, it is recommended there has to be some segregation. If there's not some segregation, there will be problems. So you see here, it's specifically described, the women lived in a place where the men could not even enter. That's a culture of society, where everything is segregated. The nature of the modern world is it's not like that. And there are disadvantages because it is not like that. So therefore, within ISKCON, there has to be proper respect, proper segregation, but the main element is the respect. You can segregate everyone, but if the consciousness is not correct, the way that the men deal with the women or see the women, the way that the women see the men, then it doesn't work. There has to be respect from both sides. So by Shanaka, he says, one who is wise, he sees all women as mothers. That's a wise person. He sees the women as mothers, as opposed to be an object of sense enjoyment. The only the woman that the man sees differently is the wife. He doesn't see the wife as mother. The movement between the husband and wife is different. But with everyone else, he is mother. In other words, you do not see them as an object of sense enjoyment. Now, if you see like that, then spiritual life becomes very. So here, the men cannot even enter. That's separate. Like so, and in Rudy he ends the deep within the chambers. So he is a expansion of Krishna himself. He's one of the chapter of Yuma. So this is his part. He quotes from the Vedas. One should not be alone with the mother, the daughter, sister, He says, because the mind is so powerful, it can even deviate. Mainly means in your consciousness, isn't it? I'm alone with my daughter a lot. Sometimes we go somewhere or do something like that.
Swami.
Yes, that's the point. So that the consciousness is correct, there is no danger. But then you see in the world these days, there are problems because the consciousness is not correct. And what Chaitanya also says, to not even see the form of the woman naked. Even a doll, mannequin, he says, do not see, because that will disturb your mind. So he's showing us how careful we have to be about associating with the opposite sex. And there has to be culture. The point is, there has to be culture in the way we deal with the opposite sex. That's the point. Yeah, at least when we deal with each other. You know, many of my friends, you know, many of the female devotees, you have close relationships and like that. But there's a culture there, there's a respect there. The consciousness has not become improper. Any point? The position, sorry, it's number 23. Usha worships Aniruddha with faithful service, offering him priceless garments along with garlands, fragrances, incense, lamps, sitting places, and so on. She also offered him beverages, all types of food, and sweet words. As he thus remained hidden in the young lady's quarters, Aniruddha did not notice the passing of the day, for his senses were captivated by Usha, whose affection for him ever increased. So there's many important lessons even within this one verse. First of all, this is the position of the Lord's pleasure potency. Usha is an expansion of the goddess of fortune. Expansion of ultimately Radharani. Whenever Krishna expands, then his counterpart also expands. So if Krishna's expansion is Aniruddha, then Radharani is expanding as Usha. So we understand, whenever we read the Bhagavatam, these pastimes, it is not ordinary dealings between man and woman. No? Sometimes you read these things, but if you don't understand them properly, you will think they are just mundane pastimes. But they are not mundane. No. What is the overriding difference between? No. The main difference is, these pastimes are free from lust. These spiritual pastimes are full of prema. Yeah, lots of Krishna. So there is no material iniquity. There's nothing material within this pastime. If the Lord has entered into the chambers of the females, we cannot do that. We can only enter into the females' private chambers. Except our wife, we can do it. Otherwise, you cannot do it. Yeah? But if the Lord does it, there is no imperfection. We have to think from this proper context. In the material world, everyone tries to imitate the pastimes of Krishna. Our Krishna is going over all of us. Even if we don't think like that, actually that's what we're doing. We're trying to enjoy like Krishna. But we don't have the adhika. Okay, if you want to enjoy like Krishna, you have to do everything else that Krishna does as well. You have to maintain dharma, you have to destroy miscreants, maybe you can try to live. Yeah, become a Govardhan or Ishram or something. Yeah, the yin-yang or something. Try to do something, but you know, we cannot do so many things. So don't try to imitate God. All of us are doing that in this world. We are trying to be the Purusha. But there is only one Purusha, that is Krishna. Krishna is the Purusha. We're not the Purusha. We are the Prakriti. Prakriti means you are meant to be enjoyed by Krishna. All of us are prakritis. We don't think we are prakritis, we think we are purusha. We think we are the enjoyer, imitating Krishna. So as long as we have this consciousness, then we cannot serve Krishna perfectly or properly. So, also we can learn from these things based on cultural points. If you want to be happy at home, sometimes the husband and wife, they argue. Anyone have that experience? Sometimes? Yes. As you say, husband and wife, they argue. Yeah, it happens. Yeah. Sometimes it happens. The husband and wife are arguing. Shanakya says that the husband and wife are arguing, it is like thunder, but there is no rain or clouds. Okay. Sometimes you hear the rumbling in the sun, but there's no like clouds there or rain or something. So you don't take it seriously. Oh, there's just some rumbling. It doesn't mean there's going to be rain. So like I said, it is like that. The husband and wife, they're just making some noise. And the neighbors are listening, right? And they're thinking, okay, they're just arguing again. But no one takes it seriously. It's just part of the rasa between husband and wife. It just happens. Okay. Means there'll be some friction. Right, so that is the lila. So it is said that where the husband and wife do not argue, Lakshmi moves in that home. Lakshmi Devi comes and resides in that home. There will be good fortune in that home where the husband and wife do not argue. So the less that we argue, the more we'll be peaceful in our Grihastha ashram. So if you want a peaceful Grihastha ashram, hands up if you want a peaceful Grihastha ashram. Okay, no one's putting their hand up, so only a few people want peaceful ashram. So you're happy with this color. With the excitement. If you want a peaceful Grihastha ashram, then we have to understand some cultural points. What are the cultural points? Usha, right, she has a very nice, pleasant attitude towards Aniruddha. We studied this back in the, it was in the ninth canto. It was in a few of the other cantos as well. In the ninth canto it was there. When we studied that, does anyone remember what is the most important quality that the woman must have in the married life to make harmony in the home? Yeah, sweet words. Yeah, good. Chastity, good cook, all those things are there. But the most important quality is sweet words. Right? And that's actually, it's an art, and it's actually, and it's an austerity. Because the husband does not always speak nicely to the wife. So then what's the natural reaction when someone doesn't speak nicely to us? What should we do? We say, what about you? Someone says to us, oh, what about you? And what do we say? What about you? We all do that. And someone says, oh, what are you, like, oh, what are you doing that with? But if the wife can learn not to do that, which is not easy, if she can learn that she can control the husband, she can make him very peaceful. And if he's peaceful, then life will be much more peaceful for her also. And the husband can learn to do this also. If the wife is criticizing, then the husband can also do it. And in this way, the ashram becomes peaceful. So it's up to you. If you want to be peaceful, you can follow these things. Or if you enjoy all the action and excitement, then have your own new look. Any points?
One of my friends, one of the devotees, was telling the other day that he was traveling on a train, and one Australian lady was asking her, because his mother was traveling with his son, to be sunset right under many girls. Is that the same?
Why can't I have many girls? Mm-hmm. Go and have many girls. Yeah, I mean, if you want to do it, you can do it. Mm-hmm. And see how it turns out. Well, even one girl is enough to make you crazy. So if you want many girls, go and do it. No problem. See if you are peaceful and happy. Do it. No problem. Go. Krishna can do it. But Krishna does not become crazy. No. But everyone else does. The female guards eventually notice unmistakable symptoms of romantic involvement in Usha, who, having broken her maiden vow, was being enjoyed by the Yadu hero and showing signs of conjugal happiness. The guards went to Banasura and told him, "O king, we have detected in your daughter the kind of improper behavior that spoils the reputation of the young girl's family." Finished?
Vishnu Chakravarti has defined the word Vata as Vinaga, whereas Vipakumi defines it as Vinaga and others. Dramatically, the word can function in the way. The last year, that is Vata of all of the workers of activities from Dham Chakravarti, he was severely punished. Thus, they personally informed him that the young daughter was no longer in the
Any points? So, it describes that it says there were female guards, but they may have been eunuchs also. They may have been men, but they did not have the ability to impregnate the women. So they were quite often there. Eunuchs were sent in to associate with the women anyway. In the Kshatriya dynasty, you see in the Mahabharata, there are examples of that, and also here in the Bhagavatam. So the point is that they noticed there was impropriety. And actually there was nothing wrong because the Lord is performing his pastime. And normally these things must be checked in society. We have to protect our daughters, we have to protect our sons also. And that's becoming more and more difficult because the age is becoming more promiscuous. See the age of Kali? Things are just allowed to happen. But we have to protect the children. So constantly, you'll see in the old days, there was very strict protection. These days it's hard to do that because of the way the culture is, but still we have to protect as much as possible. And encourage the children to become Krishna conscious. Because it says within the Bhagavatam, do not become a mother or a father or a teacher or a guru or a demigod or the list of jinn. If you cannot deliver your dependence from the cycle of birth and death. So in other words, if you can't help them to become devotees, you should not become a parent, according to the Bhagavatam. I remember I was driving in a car one time with my mother and I was playing a lecture and my guru said something like that. And my mother just looked at me. Yeah. Says, do not become a mother or father unless you can deliver your dependence from birth and death. So my mother looked at me like, oh. What if I haven't done that? And I said, then no, I have to do it for you. I have to do it for you. If you can't deliver me from birth and death, then I have to deliver you from birth and death. But that is the system. The system is that the parents cannot do it, and the children have to deliver the family. So whatever it takes, but we should become focused and Christian. Any points? We have been carefully watching over her, never leaving our posts on Lhasa, so we cannot understand how this maiden, whom no man can ever see, has been corrupted within the palace. Meenakshi, want to read? Any points? So the basic point is that there are two energies in God's creation. The internal energy and the external energy. Antaranga Shakti, Bahiranga Shakti. Or the internal potency, the external potency. The spiritual potency, the Daivya Prakriti, and the Apara Prakriti. There are two different potencies. So the spiritual potency is more powerful than the material potency. You have to take shelter of Krishna's internal energy. So the external energy is very powerful. Do you experience this? Maya is very strong. Have you experienced that? One time the devotee said to Prabhupada, Prabhupada, Maya is very strong. Prabhupada said, Maya is not strong, you are not sincere. That's the problem actually. Maya is not strong, but we are not sincere in our desire. We're not sincere enough. Because when you're very sincere, Maya cannot touch you. But because we are not sincere, Maya is very powerful. Krishna says, Mama Maya Dharashaya, the reason we feel Maya is very powerful is because it is coming from Krishna himself. It is his own energy. But when you take shelter of the Devi Prakriti, Mahatmana Sumam Parasa, Devi Prakriti, Ashrita, when you take shelter of Krishna's internal potency, the external potency cannot affect you. So we have to make our choice. Where Tatashta? Tatashta means in between. Internal or external? Maya or Yoga Maya? Internal energy or external energy? That's right. Very agitated to hear of his daughter's corruption, Banukura rushed at once to the maiden's quarters. There he saw the pride of the Yadavas, Aniruddha. Banasura saw before him Cupid's own son, possessed of unbridled beauty, with dark blue complexion, yellow garments, lotus eyes and formidable arms. His face was adorned with effulgent earrings and hair, and also with smiling glances. As he sat opposite his most auspicious lover, playing with her at dice, there hung between his arms a garland of spring jasmine that had been smeared with kumkum, powder from her breast, when he had embraced her. Banasura was astonished to see all this. Mahatma Guru.
Banasura behaved in his own words. The prince was calmly sitting in the young girl's quarter, placed with Banam's holy and married daughter. In the context of the strict Vedic culture, this was an unusual thing.
Any questions? There's a potency of Aniruddha. He got up and he was able to defend himself against the entire army, Banasura and all of his soldiers. So that's the point. If you're going to do all these things, then you have to have the potency also to fight the army. We just want to enjoy with women or with men, like that. So we don't have the potency to do all the other things. So you see here that Aniruddha, he is enjoying. That is called Lila Shakti. Lila Shakti means internal potency. It is the Lord's pleasure pastime. So there's no defect in what he does. But then he can also defend himself. King Banasura entered with many armed guards. Aniruddha raised his iron club and stood resolute, ready to strike anyone who attacked him. He resembled death personified, holding his rod of punishment. As the guards converged on him from all sides, trying to capture him, Aniruddha struck them just as the leader of a pack of boars strikes back a dog. Hit by his blows, the guards fled the palace, running for their lives with shattered heads, thighs, and arms. But even as Aniruddha was striking down the army of Bana, their powerful son of Bali angrily caught him with the mythic Nagapasha ropes. When Usha heard of Aniruddha's capture, she was overwhelmed with grief and depression, her eyes filled with tears, and she wept.
So after this, it seems that Banasura could not actually capture the powerful grandson of Lord Krishna. However, the Lord's delicacy of passing potential allowed this to happen so that he even described in the next part of the system.
Any points? Yeah, it means that if these things take place, this is part of the Lord's Leela Shakti. Just like in the Ramayana. What's an example of the Leela Shakti? Yeah, that's part of the, yeah, that's also part of it. Yeah, I was thinking of when Lakshmana. So Lakshman was apparently done by the Shakti weapon. Thrown by Indraji. So it looked like he was in trouble. Actually, how can the Lord be in trouble? So here, now Banasura, who's a demon, he throws a rope around Aniruddha. This is just Leela Shakti. And he just wants to have some pastime. Also described in the seventh canto when Hiranyakashipu was fighting with Nrisimhadev. Nrisimhadev was like playing with him. So sometimes it looked like he was in trouble. Hiranyakashipu was fighting very nicely. Nrisimhadev was just a Leela Shakti. So in the same way, so the pastime can unfold and there can be more enjoyment, he's allowed himself to be tied up. But actually, Aniruddha is never in trouble. Any points? Okay. So tomorrow night we'll start chapter 63. Shall the Prabhupada teach?
Yes.
Okay, please pick up your fees for the course. And I'll see you tomorrow night.